see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to Watchmen for Jesus Bible Study tonight. My name is Thomas Gamble. I'm the host of this Bible study. Intended just to be me studying the Bible, and one day I thought, you know, I have a network. That's when I first realized I had a network, and I could use it for Bible study and share my Bible study, and that's when I started. I forgot 2 years now. I've lost track. I think it was about 2 years ago now. I've been doing this Bible study now, I suppose. So it really started off with just for me. Until I realized, well, I'll just share it to whoever wants to attend it with me. Makes me learn faster. Have to speak the words of teaching it makes me learn it. And to read the Bible. Sometimes we put it off. We say, I'll get around to it. Draw your circle. In the middle of the circle, put in capital letters, T-U-I-T, to it. And there you get yourself around to it. So when you get around to it, get with it, and let's get started. So I got around to it. Tonight, I'm going to talk about victory over Satan. And you know, the churches aren't teaching this. Some churches are, yes, of course. But the majority are not teaching it because it's too taboo. It should be opposite, don't you think? They should be teaching about how to defeat Satan, not avoiding talking about it. It follows any basic military principle to learn about your enemy. Find their weaknesses, because that's exactly what we're dealing with today. Manifestations of demons. It's real. It's real. So if it's real, we should be learning how to deal with it. And I'm getting reports from the field, so to speak, that families are being infested with this, with demonic activities increasing immensely. Demons talk. Demons are intelligent. They resist surrendering of the body. They can give a person a case of insanity. Demons may call for reinforcements. They may occupy alone or united together. The Bible supports all this. Demons recognize and obey those who have power over them. Demons recognize and they obey those who have power over them. Demons are the cause of a lot of illnesses. People don't realize that. If you don't realize it, you're going to try to fight cancer with a cold tablet. If you don't understand what you're really up against, it's about spiritual warfare, what it boils down to being. You see? Two types. One are those theologians that don't want you to know, and they know. And the others don't know because they weren't taught about it. Well, no, three types. And those that do know but don't want to talk about it because they want to lose their 10% tithing every Sunday. So they don't want to scare nobody away. And the fourth type, I guess, are those that are controlled by the Freemasons. So you don't talk about that now. And they do control the churches. There's no question about that. I had a broadcast today at 4 to 6 on my network, and I think that one went over, for some people, fairly well, and others are not going to be happy with it at all. Because I went at them today and named names and things that people haven't been thinking about on the highest level. I suspect I made some enemies today, but I really kind of hope so, whatever it takes to get people's attention. Point is, I'm hoping y'all put these things out. I download it. It's already up on the archives. And do what you want to. Make CDs. Send it out. And I've got it under 25 megabytes, which means you can send it out by email. If you have 25 and over, you can't send it out by email. So I try to keep it 2 hours and under 22 to 23 megabytes. On MP3. Yeah, I'm starting to learn this stuff, you know. Anyway, so it's important because family is going to affect people's lives. I can't express this enough. It's not being covered. The felons that are going to be released upon the nation. The felon police force is being formed up as we speak. Since 2006, the battle of the helter-skelter is going to happen. Family, all this is real. And they're keeping us busy. Our mind's off of it. On a supernatural level and secular level. Well, so tonight, how Satan works, and we'll complete that tonight for sure. And how to walk the Christian life, how to live the Christian life. And principalities, I wanted to talk about a little bit. And we have to. We'll go into it tomorrow. So I'll dedicate the broadcast, and we're going to get started with what we're going to talk about tonight. Yeah, 5 days a week I do this, 3.5 hours a day. And for me, it's an education every single time. But I do see things picking up. Supernaturally, I'm hearing all kinds of things and from people. Watchmen are coming out. Certain ones. Watchmen of the Hebrews and watchmen of the Gentiles are coming out of the woodwork. hopefully this isn't a part trend, but a full trend of those coming out. That's what I'm hearing anyway. We'll see. Lord, we come together tonight in Bible study. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we thank you for the King James Bible that gives us your true word. Father, guide us tonight in this Bible study. Give me strength, Lord. Also, Father, forgive us for our sins as we lay them before you, to cleanse us of these sins, to give us clear heads, thoughts, strength, and courage, that, Father, we can do what you want us to do. Father, keep us straight with conviction when we start to fall away. We pray tonight, Father, for Janet. We pray for the others that we've prayed for in the past. That, Father, for their families to come together. That the families be sanctified by the believing one inside. And, Father, to guide them to the truth. That the families who pray together to keep the Wicca back, to keep the supernatural realm back, and to lay the blood of Jesus around them, Lord, to give them that protection. And bring their children back to their homes. And give their children wisdom and discernment to turn away from those that want to pull them in. Instead, Lord, reverse it to give them the strength and courage and the knowledge, the wisdom, the voice to turn it around and to witness to that one. And when they witness to that one, Lord, that you bring the Holy Spirit down to touch the heart to weaken the grip that the satanic realm has upon them. Father, to take away the suicides, to take away the sacrifices, Lord, and to expose the Wicca for who they are. And, Father, for those that are in the Wicca to be softened of the heart, that you'll give them forgiveness, the ones that can go back within the covens and then draw them away from Satan. The Father, to work from the inside. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you give us today. We pray for our veterans, for their protection. Protect them with the psychotropic drugs and against the suicide thoughts and the technology being used against them. And protect the children, Lord, that's being sought after for rituals. And Lord, to give us the time to witness to others. But Father, give us a strength, a courage, and wisdom, discernment to see through the end times, be prepared when those tribulations start. These things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, what does all that mean? You can say it forever. You can say all those the prayers. You can say them. But what does it really mean to you? What do those words really mean, actually? Are they just words like a mantra? What that is the Lord's Prayer. You know, Jesus never prayed it himself. It was given to his disciples. And that to be used as a model only. They could pattern their prayers after that, after this one. Expound upon it, whatever they wanted. It's not given as the exact words that were to be used, because you'll find it different ways in different other gospels, disciples. It seems, however, that verse 7 might rule that out, because a lot of the words repeated by memory can become empty phrases. We used to say this prayer before every football game as if God heard us. We just say it real quick and get up. Did God hear it? No. Our Father in heaven should be addressed to God, the Father, in acknowledgement for his sovereignty and over the universe that he created. Hallowed is his name. The name is hallowed because we begin our prayers with worship. We talk about praise and honor to him because he's worthy of it. He's a creator. It's about his kingdom coming. After worship, we've got to pray for the advancement of God's cause. And that's what it's all about. And putting his interest first, his first before ours, denial of self. And even more specifically, pray for the day when our Savior God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will set up his kingdom on earth and reign in righteousness. And yet we still turn to political leaders, military leaders, theologians that are human. Why? Why are people so afraid to use the King James Bible? They try every which way possible to not have to read the King James Bible. They try every way possible not to say the name of Jesus Christ. They come up with all kinds of names that, I don't know, I have no idea how to pronounce it. Because the name of Jesus Christ has power of conviction. The King James Bible has power of conviction. Why? Because it's real. Your will be done. Your will be done. In that petition that you're talking about, we acknowledge that God knows what's best and what we surrender our will to and is his will. It also expresses a longing to see that his will is acknowledged throughout the world, in our own little world, wherever we are. It's on earth, in earth, as it is in heaven. That sort of modifies all three other petitions, because the worship of God, the sovereign rule by God, and the performance of his will particularly, or all of your reality of what heaven is, the prayer is that these conditions might exist on earth as they do in heaven, especially in the thousand-year reign. It's to give us this day our daily bread. So after you put God's interest first, we're permitted to present our own needs to him. And you know that petition acknowledges our dependence, really, on God for daily food and both spiritual and physical. And to forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, family, that doesn't refer to judicial forgiveness from the penalty of sin. Now, that's forgiveness is obtained by faith in the Son of God. But what this does refer to is parental forgiveness that's necessary if fellowship with our Father is to be maintained. So if believers are unwilling to forgive those who wrong them, or debts or whatever, how can they expect to be in fellowship with a Father who has freely forgiven them for their wrongdoings, for our wrongdoings? And do not lead us in temptation. Where we're headed tonight. No, not temptation, but heading to learn about it. This particular request in Matthew 6, verse 13, it might appear to contradict James 1:13, which states that God would never tempt anyone. But he does allow his people to be tested and tried. So this particular petition expresses kind of a healthy distrust of one's own ability to resist the temptations or to stand up under trial that we go under. Bottom line is it pretty much acknowledges complete dependence on the Lord for preservation. And deliver us from evil one. Deliver us from evil. That's the prayer of everyone who desperately desires to be kept from sin by power of God. It's a heart's cry for daily salvation, the powers of sin and Satan's in one life. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That last sentence of the prayer is omitted in the Roman Catholic Church and most other modern Protestant Bibles because it lacks in many ancient manuscripts. However, such is a doxology. It's the perfect ending to the prayer. It's in the majority of manuscripts. Not only warms our hearts to press toward the glory of God, but also to tell us that all our prayers have no other foundation than God has shown. And then, of course, you can have an analysis of the prayer in David by Psalms. Defeating Satan is where it boils down to. People think by learning how to defeat him, you're studying him. Yeah, you are. If you don't, he'll operate. Today, I did a figuring. I was going to talk about it today, but I didn't, but I'll talk about part of it. You know, Satan is prince of this world. And, you know, from 1917 to now, even before that, we attend church. Well, not from then, but when people attend church, they attend the church once per week on the average, sometimes twice. So we'll go minimal, one time per week, maybe two. But school for 12 years, five times per week, 8 hours per day. And I covered today in my broadcast that these schools are based on the Humanist Manifesto. The humanist is Antichrist. It goes back to the 1908 humanist. John Dewey created education. He's the father of American education. All the schools of humanism. Charles Francis Potter, 1930. All the way through 1989. Follows the Humanist Manifesto up till today. All colleges, all universities, all public schools, that's confirmed. So Satan, he uses humanism as his religion. That's a problem. Secular humanism. The ringing of the bells is satanic. Now, that being said, that education is designed to lead you to a humanist point of view. This is documented. All the teachers are told. So you and my regular listeners, I'm assuming still here, you know what I'm talking about. Well, have you ever thought about this? Did you know that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you go to school like 180 days per year. 180 days per year. You know, 3 months of vacation, give or take. So that's, what, six? Is that right? 180 days per year. So you got 6 months, 9 months you go to school. I'm sorry, wait a minute. Yeah, that's right. School, 180 days per year. So per month is what? Per month, five times per week, 5/8, you're 40. 40 hours per week. So you attend church one time per week, maybe two, but but school, you go 12 years, 5 days per week, 8 hours per day. So what I figured out was, you got about 180 days per year that you go to school. And that equals out to about 1,440 hours per year. 12 years, your complete education is like 2,160 days to the end of high school, and about 17,280 hours. Now, that's school, 1,440 hours per year. And 17,280 hours all the way up through high school. Now, church, where you learn about God, as opposed to 180 days per year, you go to 36 days per year. Four nines of 36. And, of course, if you go other 3 months, it might be a little bit more, 12. Maybe a little bit more than that. And 36. Say at 48. All right, so 48 per year. That's 48 hours per year if you go just one time a week. Assuming if you make it every Sunday. So you got 12 months out of the year. 4 times 12 is 48. If you go every Sunday, minus none. If you go twice, so that's average. In the 12 years, you might go 576 days for that 12-year period. Days. So that equals 576 hours because you go there for 1 hour, right? As opposed to 17,000, just a 9-month period, 17,280 hours during the school year you're being taught by a humanist education system versus 576 hours. 17,280 hours versus 576 hours. A little bit overshot there, you think? Even if you go twice on every week to church, 1 hour per day, 1 day per week, versus 5 days per week, 8 hours per day. Whew. How much does Satan get a hold of you and teach you the education system we've talked about before, which is so corrupt it's beyond words? It's for recruiting. High school, college, universities are used for recruiting to find the best of the best so they can use them and to corrupt the rest. That's been proven. By quotes. That's significant. And then you got schools teaching and churches teaching Harry Potter in churches as Sunday school lessons. Why? Because it shows the intermingling of children on how to get along together. What are you talking about? Rollins is a witch. Literally. I don't mean that derogatory. I mean, she is a witch. The ringing of school bells. As somebody sent me a little layout on the school bells. It's called Witch's Altar Bells. Used for centuries in spell casting and crafting. The ringing of a bell unleashes vibrations, which have powerful effects. Some use bells for removing unwanted or negative energies, as well as calling in spirits. Bells and drums. Drums are used. That's what drums are for. Where they got in mega churches? Drums. Do they have drums in their old days in the churches? No, organs or pianos. They ain't got them today. They got what? Drums. School, they got bells. How about the Liberty Bell? How about when you're getting off of a ship or a Marine or a Navy, you leave a ship, you got to ring the Liberty Bell? Oh, boy, does that open up a whole bag of worms there. Boy, we have been so fooled, it's not even funny. And I'm not laughing. The bell is often used to invoke the goddess in Wicca witchcraft. And bells are rung during rituals to signal the beginning or ending of a spell. Folklore will tell us how people would have their farm animals and pets wear bells to keep away the evil eye and evil spirits. And the outer portion of a bell is referred to as the female. Just like the ankh with the oval on top, the horizontal small line, and then below it is the long line of a cross called the ankh. It's Egyptian. Well, the top part, oval, is representative of the woman. The bottom part is the man, of course. The hammer part of a bell, as opposed to the outer portion of the bell, referred to as a female, the hammer inside the bell is seen as the male. So ringing a bell signifies and celebrates the occasion of moment of time, clears and purifies the space for this time. Also, by ringing a bell, perception and awareness can be altered. Yeah, because it draws a demon to you that possesses you. Wiccan bells are rung to outline portions of rituals and celebrations. I never really knew that about bells. It never even dawned on me about that. Recently, I started studying about bells. I said, oh my. Then I got some details here recently. Just how detailed it really is. And boy, my little old mind started racing. Liberty Bell, Liberty Bell, drums. Drums are the same thing in the Congo. And they had drums. Listen to me. They had drums. When I went to a three-day seminar or workshop or whatever it was, I was invited. And I said, I'll go. I went to a Rick Joyner three-day ministry or something another about 5 or 6 years ago. And a lot of people there. And had Jerry Boykin there. See, that was before I kind of knew who Jerry Boykin was, or Rick Joyner, either one. And then I found out, oh, they're Knights of Malta. Oh, they got healings going where they pop people on the head and they fall backwards and all that stuff. I said, uh-oh, I'm in the wrong place. On the second day, I even tried to talk to them. And on the third day, they had people follow me around. That's no kidding. Now I know why. Yeah, that's true, actually. And the second or third day, they were saying stuff like, we have miracles today. I'm like, they had miracles today. We had feathers falling, oil in the hands. I'm looking around and I found out this thing about feathers falling, that indicated angels were there. Angels' feathers fell? Oh, my Lord. I said, I'm in the wrong place. And oil in their hands, with anointed with oil, but oil would magically appear in their palms. I said, oh, I'm in the wrong place. Jim Baker's place is where they have their little get-together, Rick Joyner's Morning Star. Morning Star is Lucifer. Ouch. Boy, that bit. When they said, see, Lucifer is considered the Morning Star, but Jesus Christ is the Bright and Morning Star. Revelation 22:16. Big difference. Oh, that Bright Morning Star. Big difference. Strom's Concordance is dead, dead wrong. It says Lucifer, translation is Morning Star. No, it's not. Lucifer is Latin. It also means light bringer. It don't mean no morning star. So that's a little trick they're trying to pull, morning star. In Isaiah 14:12, Lucifer fell. Luke 10:18, Satan fell. Revelation 22:16, Jesus Christ is a bright morning star. But when you go to the other Bibles, it don't say that. It says, It says in Isaiah 14:12, the morning star fell, or the day star fell. Then it says in Luke 10:18, both of them say Satan fell like lightning. So that means the morning star is Satan, according to read the other Bibles. And then you get to Revelation 22:16. Jesus Christ says, I am the bright morning star. They forget the bright. They look at the morning star. So, oh, gosh, that means Jesus is Satan. Say, Phil, Lucifer, they're all the same. That's what they tell. That's exactly what they tell the Freemasons. They show them those particular scriptures. Say, this is a secret. Nobody knows. They'll tell it to the 30 degree, 32 degree, whatever. I don't know. One of those degrees up there. That Jesus and Lucifer are the same. That they're the same. That's one of their secrets. And they use specifically, those three verses, but only in the other Bibles. Nobody pays attention to it. Matter of fact, I can actually show you right here, let you hear. Yes, I can. There is an interviewer, I forgot who the interviewer was, that approached a Southeastern Shriners Convention in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and interviewed one of the Shriners. And listen to this interview.
Lucifer, what is your problem?
Just that, sir.
Okay.
I'm a Christian, sir.
I'm pure and virtuous and wholesome and innocent. How can you say anything about me?
Sir, you need to be born again.
Am born again.
Now, did you just say that you are Lucifer?
I am Lucifer.
Okay, define Lucifer for me.
Pure, virtuous, wholesome, innocent individual that's out to help people.
Lucifer is?
Yeah.
Say that again. Lucifer is a pure, holy...
Virtuous.
Now, is he the Lucifer that God created?
That's the same one.
Oh, man, this is great. I'm going to put this on the internet.
Oh,
amen.
God bless you,
amen.
Brother.
Because that's exactly what the Shriners and Masons teach, is that Lucifer is light.
No.
And you're
about
confirming
those hospitals?
It. You know what, sir? Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do these good deeds in your name? And you'll say, away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you.
Jesus said it?
In Matthew chapter 5.
Mercy.
No.
That's hard to believe.
So, you're a Christian and you don't know that. Actually.
No, I really am.
You are.
Because I'm pure and virtuous.
You're pure and virtuous, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're perfect without Jesus, right?
No.
Okay, tell me about Jesus. Who is Jesus?
Oh. Well, he's my leader.
Is he the Son of God?
Yes, he is.
Is he the only worshipful master?
Yes.
Have you ever been called worshipful master?
No, because I've just been too busy. I've been working.
Working?
Been working to help people.
What
like
kind
you.
Of work?
Okay. Get out of here.
See, this is what a Mason confesses, is that Lucifer is light. You heard it?
See, that was an impromptu interview, and he got Lucifer and Satan mixed up. I mean, Lucifer... and Jesus mixed up as the same. I mean, right there it is. And that confirms that that's one of their secrets at the highest level. A Shriner, and that was a Shriner's convention. Shriners are 33rd degree. And they know the royal secret, too. I've talked about that a dozen times. You see, so that's what's going on. That's how Lucifer is coming into the churches, Freemasons, government, science, the arts, etc. And this is everyday life, man. This is everyday life. And what's going on today, that to me is just, it's just mind-boggling. People don't face it. They don't see it. They don't know how to fight it. You can't fight something you don't know exists. And this is what's destroying families. This is what's destroying their families. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. And in 1 or 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul, he says in the King James Bible, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of men which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." There you go. I mean, that tells you. Right there. He's got them blinded. Satan is God of this world. For now. But there are certain things he can't do. Because God won't let him. He can only go so far. But the more we turn away from God, guess what? He gets more latitude. More operation, more leeway, you might say. And that's why they're trying to pass all these laws against the Bible. That is the reason, and the reason alone. Well, okay, the first reason. The second reason is to manipulate the thinking and get people to let go more and lean towards Satan. Satan deceives people by making people think that all supernatural occurrences come from God. The bad weather, that's what Pat Robinson, and he's a 33rd degree Mason. God did this to Haiti because Haiti is so evil. God took it down. God gave that earthquake. And Harp did. Harp is that scientific way they produce earthquakes. It goes back to Nikola Tesla. Supernatural whiz-bang and smoke and mirrors of disasters are caused by Satan blaming God. You know, at the highest level of government, they're probably thinking, well, we're going to send an earthquake and tsunami to Japan to destroy their economics, and which is what they did, actually. An earthquake in Chile or something like that to take down their economic system, and we'll tell, show them a lesson. All that is on the highest level, probably classified. But they still don't know. They don't understand that even though that's their level of knowledge, it goes further to the satanic realm, the controllers of those that's leading Satan's agenda to allow the others to believe that they're doing it for economic reasons and we'll bring Chile to their knees. Why? But they're being used by Satan, and they don't know this at the highest level of their government. But the Satanists, they do. Kind of like a big fish eating a bigger fish, the bigger fish eats the bigger fish. And some of them don't really know that they're being used by Satan, supernaturally, using technology for a much bigger purpose. But I mentioned yesterday that all miracles don't just come from God. That Satan conjures up his own methods and has his own power, but to a certain level, not to exceed what God has. So, and this is where it comes into a warning I gave yesterday, having nothing to do with Ouija boards. Ouija boards are like drums. Ouija boards are like bells. They draw demonic entities to your child, to you. And they work. Ouija boards came in 600 A.D. The symbols has frequency, vibration, etc. You're agreeing to participate, putting your knees together and putting your fingers on those doodad things they got, that thing goes around. That is your willpower, your spirit given in to serve Satan. So when you do that, your energy puts out a beacon. It puts out a light. It puts out a beacon. I'm ready. So here comes the demons right to you, like a pack of wolves on a supernatural level. So your free will is made by energy, by decision. You see? And that decision, that free will, that energy, has a light to it. It's not just something philosophical. It has a physical reaction. You see what I mean? I got somebody around that I see semi-weekly, or person operates a good old fella, but he operates a tattoo shop. And sort of does Bible studies and so forth. Anyway, I know the tattoos are used by Satan. I know they're getting ready to use the tattoos to justify putting the digital tattoo on the skin. I know the tattoos are desecrating the human body. It just is. I know I had a friend. He's now, 67, 68. He was the original in the original groups of SEAL teams in 1960s in Vietnam. He actually participated in recovery of the Apollo astronauts and as one of the SEAL team members that did that. So he's been around. He's an old SEAL. He was the UDT before even SEALs existed. He had tattoos on his arm. Tattoos on his chest, big old eagle or whatever. He became a born-again Christian. And one day he came to work when we worked for a State Department project together back in the 80s, early 90s. He came to work one day, and had bandages all over his arm. I said, I ain't gonna say his name, but I said, what happened? He said, I'm trying to get these tattoos off. He told his name of his wife, said his name is his wife, I ain't going to mention. Said she talked to him, got him really involved in the church, and specific type of church I'm not going to mention. But anyway, he started turning toward God and getting more religious, sort of. He came from a Protestant background, so. Anyway, and he just had this feeling to take off the tattoos. So he was going to a doctor to have him do the laser thing to take him off. He just felt the need to do that. You see, the tattoos mark up the body. Okay, then what's the point before I drag this to the ground too deep? Point of the matter is, I don't go in no tattoo shop. I can't do it. So this person here is trying to get me to come to the tattoo shop all kinds of ways. He even asked me the other day, what's it going to take to get you to come to the shop and see this? I said, you know, we can talk here where we meet and drink coffee and all that, but I'm real busy at work and we're busy back and forth. I got to get back to my broadcast. I just don't change my schedule. But the truth of the matter is, I haven't told a lie or anything. I just have avoided telling him, but he's going to eventually come around to it. I cannot go in tattoo shops. That is my allowance. This is my, approval to go in, and I know I'm going to be attacked, not physically, but supernaturally, because I have went into there. I know I've left the portal open when I do that, and my spirit says, don't go in there. So I'm not going to go in there. So it's our allowance. If I play a Ouija board, which I did about 25 years ago out of curiosity, and since I remembered that, I repented of that, it works. I'm going to tell you, as I sit here right now, and I am sitting, I'm not standing. If I'm sitting here, it worked. It said, when it was spelled out, it was my dad who's been dead since 83. So it was 83 to 45, 86. It was around 87 or 88 when I went there. I never knew my dad, really, my real dad. And it started speaking to me. Not verbally, but through the symbols and all that. And started talking. And then it changed and said there was somebody else there. And it was like two children that had been killed there during the days of the settlers and Indians. And I said, oh, my gosh. And then when I got home, I started doing research. And I said, oh, boy, I'm going to snap boo-boo there. That was not good. And it was real, man. That thing does not play around. It started moving, really moving around. And I said, this is amazing because it had its own power, its own energy. And I looked at the person I was using it to, and they just had the little fingertips on top. I said, this thing's supposed to, is a game, right? She said, no, it's real. She said, when our children were young, they would run home from school and want to play it because they had a special playmate that would talk to them on the Ouija board. Not talk verbally, but those things bring demons to you. They bring them to your house, and they stay there. When you're a Freemason, you take the blood oath, you bring the demons to your house, and they stay there. And they curse your family for four generations. You must cut the generational curse. Besides being born again, in addition to, this stuff is real. Your super soldiers, your muscle-bound guys that look really weird, muscle-bound, they do a lot more than eat their Wheaties and drink energy drinks, let me tell you, and work out. There's alchemy involved. Possession is involved. They're developing bodies supernaturally, digitally, to take on the 10,000s of saints that they think are going to fight them in Armageddon. See, the whole thing about transhumanism is for the elite to build their army to take on Jesus Christ. That is the biggest picture going on today. And they know a mere human cannot take on. So they have angels. But what they don't realize is they won't have to, because Jesus Christ with command will cause those armies to fight each other to death. There's not going to be like some of these theologians out here, Joel's army, and everybody's welding swords like on the TVs and movies. It won't be like that at all. It's going to be Jesus Christ with a command and the enemy, the 200 million transhumanized super soldiers that they're developing, will fight themselves to complete exhaustion. Psalms 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked. That's exactly what's going to happen. They don't understand that because they are blinded by the God of this world. So the super soldiers that do, and the police, law enforcement, remote viewers, we want to find where the lost girl is. Hold a minute. I'm getting a message. That's from demonic possession. Then why are they doing good is your question. Because they're doing good to attract attention. They're doing good so they will be hailed as heroes and be worshipped. That's why. It's like the exorcists that comes out of the Catholic Church. The good they do brings them fans, if you want to call it that. Therefore, they lead them to heretical teachings. Or they worship the doer instead of Jesus Christ. So what does it include? Remote viewing, Ouija boards, table lifting, seances to distribute, while they hold hands, to distribute the energy among themselves. Because the one leading the seance, if she's completely possessed by that demon, man, she'll burn up like a Roman candle or destroy her. So they disperse the energy around people, kind of like that thing where you do the Van de Graaff generator, you know, and you put your hand on it, somebody grabs your hand, grabs their hand, grabs their hand, everybody goes, woo, they all get shocked. Same thing. That's what they are. They're demons. They are electricity. They're just like that. Astrology, fortune telling, witchcraft. Can you imagine the power that someone feels when they can, we're going to teach you how to lift the table. What do you mean, like this? No, no, with your fingers. Oh. So they teach him, and the table lifts. It levitates. Like, whoa, man, look what I can do. It's not them at all. It's the demons for David Copperfield. It's the demons with the magicians that's given their life over to Satan that acquires these abilities to change their DNA. Or the demons does the card trick. Yes, sir, that's how it works. Because that magician, there's several that have given their life over to Satan, where the demons work around them and can actually perform physical works that makes them look like they're doing it. And the people that are amazed, like, why'd you see that? I don't believe. It's nothing, really. It's a matter of employing the demons around them that's supernatural and invisible to do the work for them, make it look like it's the human. The human gets all the glory. That's fine in humanism. It's fine for Satan because it takes him away from Jesus. That's what's going on today. And they can come inside the body and change the DNA structure of that body. For now. Until they destroy it later. It will be destroyed. Because the ego, the notoriety, the money, the fame they get is intoxicating. But they will turn on them. They always do. Usually suicide, drug abuse, various different ways. Now you know. That's how that really works. Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Satan hinders the work of God. When the gospel's preached, Satan is there to spread doubt and unbelief in the minds of those who hear it. If they don't believe in the Word of God, why do they get mad at you? If they don't think God exists, who cares if you're King James only? Maybe I'm Harry Potter book only. Maybe I'm Gone with the Wind only. Why not? What's the big deal with the King James Bible? I'm King James only. So why are other members of God, of the religion or whatever, why they Protestants that are Protestant and they love the Bible? Oh, you're just a King James only kind of guy. Oh, you're terrible. Well, no, I'm an NIV only guy. There's no such thing. I'm an ESV only guy. I'm a Jerusalem Bible only guy. Oh, you're one of the Jerusalem only guys. And that doesn't work that way. King James only Bible cult group is what you call you. Why is that? So what are they afraid of the King James Bible for? And they always start off. Always. Well, you know, I've heard he's a Baptist, man. Presbyterian. No matter. It always starts off. I can see it coming. Rob Skiba did it. Springmeyer does it. Marzulli. All the rest of them, man. That's what their job is, to turn away from the King James Bible. So what they say is, and all of them, they always start off, oh, I love the Bible. You do? Yeah. And I always hink them. I'll hink them every time. I say, you know, that's great, great, because the King James is the only one. That's my hook. They got to answer. If they don't answer, I know who they are. If they do answer, watch out your answer. But they always answer. Yeah, I like it too. It's a good Bible. Very nice. But you know, you got to read the original. Here we go. Or they'll say, well, it's one of the better ones. You know, there's others, you know. And it's got its own problems. Man, it's just like a cookie cutter response. Gotcha. That's how they work it. And then they start sowing doubt. This guy's problems, but not a doggone one of them can name one problem. And when they do, it's always Acts 12:4, where Easter's there, or it's something that you find in 1001 Bible contradictions, and every one of them, you can counter it with truth. They copy-paste. They practice response. It's almost predictable. But you got to read the originals. That's why I took a Hebrew course. Really? So 7 billion people have to take a Hebrew course. Oh, I got you. Oh, all right. You got to read the originals. Well, the originals don't exist. They're nowhere to be found. There's exact copies of copies of copies of the originals that were perfectly transcribed by scribes that were in fear of God and respect of God and were guided by the disciples and guided by the Vaudois, the Waldenese, that made sure they were transcribed perfectly, hidden in the Alps. And that was why it's called the Dark Ages. God's word was put away and then came out in 1604. People don't learn their history. Satan makes sure of that. Satan oppresses Christians. He puts thoughts of doubt, fear, and discouragement in your minds. He uses family members. He uses friends. Uses job. Now they can do this by technology. They could put doubt and fear, as I talked about today in the broadcast. You see what's going on? They can synthesize demonic activity by using ELF transmission. Microchips. How about that? Synthetic demonic activity. Synthetic demons. Whew. Satan will tempt Christians to commit terrible sins. He'll find your weakness. He tries to deceive us into thinking that it would not be wrong for them to do these things. We'll justify it. I wouldn't drink so darn much if she just shut up. You know, she keeps calling me, gets on me, makes me just drink. Oh, really? Well, I wouldn't have did it. I wouldn't have done it if you hadn't done this. Did this or whatever. You see, we got to have justification. That's Satan giving us justification. What if, this is a what if, I hate what ifs, but I'm going to do one anyway. What if Adam had said, well, Lord, it was my fault that I ate that apple. It's my responsibility and I failed. I repent of it. What would it have been like? What would have happened, I wonder? I take full responsibility. It was my error. You gave me the responsibility to watch over and I failed. But he didn't do that, did he? He blamed Eve. Well, if Eve said, well, yeah, it was my fault because I didn't go the way I was taught by Adam. No, she blamed the little snake. Wait a minute, Tom. You don't have talking snakes. Well, you got Francis, the talking mule. You got Ed, the talking horse. You got my favorite, Martin. But in reality, you got the talking donkey of Balaam. Well, let me tell you something about that. What did Jesus do when those legion of demons was in that one person there when he came up? Nobody could take those demons out. And said, we are legion. We are many. And they asked to be sent. They requested that Jesus not send them to the abyss, but put us in those pigs over there. Anything will do. They can inhabit non-living objects. They can inhabit animals. Inanimate objects. They can curse inanimate objects. They can enter animals. Where do you think they get Lord of the Flies? Satan is Lord of the Flies. You see, demons are little specks of light. That's all they are. No physical. They're supernatural. But specks of light. 1,000 points of light. Hint, hint. Specks of light is all they are. So a speck of light could get inside a fly. Why do you think in these scary little movies they have all the flies, the insects, all that stuff going on? Because they're demonic entities inside those insects. Some people can't deal with what I'm talking about. They can't handle it. We're taught from childhood those monsters and a demon is like in, you know, Halloween or Freddy. You know, Frankenstein. Vampire. Come here to me. Oh, you know, whatever. No, man. The fallen angels, they look at as majestic and 12 foot tall and blonde haired, blue eyed and wow, you know, even in Lot, you know, but those are real angels though of God. But the fallen angels can take on any shape and form. They're the ascended masters. But you know what they are really? But when they don't take on those shape and form, their real form, they are the orbs that you hear about. They're the orbs. And those orbs can look like UFOs. They can turn into dragons. They can turn into weird-looking animals. They can manipulate their energy structures to where they want for the time being. They can have avatars. They can possess people that are prepared for them to possess and lead nations. I can name you some avatars that were. Plato was one. Aristotle was one. Martin Luther. Yeah, he was an avatar. He worked for the Jesuits. You see, they work in our governments. And if they draw enough energy, life force from death or destruction, they can actually form a physical body. Saint Germain, look him up. Look him up. He existed in the 18th century. He also exists today. He has attended the Wesak Festival. This all sounds crazy, but it's true. I have to tell you. You see, this is what's going on today. How do you deal with these things that's happening around us? If you've got a grease fire, don't use a type A extinguisher. Don't put no water on it. That's the dumbest thing you could ever do. It's like trying to nail a hammer with a glass jar. That's dumb. To nail the glass jar don't work. If you don't use prayer and fasting on the demon, it's not going to work. When Christ came, he came to destroy the works of the devil. He didn't come here for me to have a abundant life. The abundant life's in heaven, not here on earth, like Osteen says. Osteen charges between $400 and $800 to attend some of his seminars or whatever. Jesus came here. 1 John 3 verse 8 tells you why he came. How come they can't use scripture? 1 John is clear. 1 John 3 8. Whosoever is born of God, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's pretty clear. On the cross is where Jesus Christ redeemed men. That doesn't mean we use the cross as a heirloom or wearing our necks, because it doesn't do anything there. Jesus is already there. The cross won't save you. Rosary won't save you. Mary won't save you. Sometimes a parachute won't even save you. But Jesus Christ will. Because it's supernatural. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. 12 and 13. Clear as a bell. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, which delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Translated. What did he do to Enoch? He translated him. What do you mean translated? Changed his DNA to make supernatural. What'd that mean? That means taking the blood out of the system. He can make it just go away. So you have flesh and bone, and flesh and bone only. Blood is for the mortal. No blood is for the immortal. It's a glorified body. The cross is a place where Satan was defeated. And the Lord Jesus took our nature upon him, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and that is the devil. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, it seemed as though the power of darkness had victorious over him, right? But on the third day he arose, and this from the grave with a mighty triumph. That's where we ended up last night. And even after 40 days, he was still on earth. But now he had a glorified body, no blood. Remember he showed Thomas his hands, had the holes, blood wasn't coming out of them. How about that? Said, Thomas, look at my feet. Look at the slit in my side. He wasn't bleeding. Look at my holes in my hand. Whoa. No blood was coming out because he didn't have blood there. He had flesh and bone, but the flesh was glorified. There's no wheelchairs in heaven. There's no seeing eye dogs either. All power is given to me in heaven and earth, he says in Matthew 28:18. The power of darkness was defeated after that time. And let me tell you something. Jesus Christ was not tormented in hell, like Joyce Meyer said, like Copeland says, like Hagen and all the rest of them did say. Copeland says, Joyce Meyer said, that he was tortured, tormented, stepped on, beat up in hell. That's what they say. If I heard that in any Bible, any teaching I'd go to, I am getting my butt up. I'm leaving right in the middle of them talking. Have respect for them? I don't think so. You got to be kidding me. I'd make a show of getting up and leaving. But that's what they say. They say that Jesus Christ was beat up, stepped on, and tormented in hell. He was the first born-again Christian that was tormented in hell. Can you believe that? That's what they said. Bad news. Very bad news. Now, and Copeland says the same thing. He's a 33rd degree Mason, by the way. Joyce Meyer's Eastern Star. It's got a lot to do with it. Because they have, for the longest time, went the wrong direction. Billy Graham also, lately. I was going to talk about that today, but I got involved in the other discussions that I talked about today. I think it was more important than that. The majority of the highest level of our government and clergy at the highest level have stepped over the line. And now they've increased it immensely. And the only one I remember now on the highest level was David Wilkerson. And there's significant questions as to how he really died. And the indicators are he was murdered. And we know that he didn't go the way that the others did. He was a powerful, powerful preacher. He taught the truth. But he was powerful about it. He wasn't lukewarm, milquetoast. He'd come right out and tell you. Ravenworth did too. And that's what we're looking for today. That's what we need now. And unfortunately, they know that. So they're trying to pull the others in. All the other significant preachers and so forth. Trying to pull them in to join the National Council of Churches. And all these others, World Council of Churches. To lead them astray and to lead us astray. Now what I'm trying to do here, oh, here we go. Try this out for size.
You see, these are the words that he spoke Hagen. To the disciples just before he went to Calvary, just before he died and went to hell and took our place and suffered in the region of the damned.
Jesus volunteered to go to hell. I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nobody ever got out of there. He became sin. He was made sin. Now he's in the pit of hell. He's down there. He's in there. Suffering like no man has ever suffered. Death and all of hell's emissaries have piled in there on him to annihilate this one called the Son of God.
1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Jesus did not suffer twice by going to hell to be tormented by Satan. He said it is finished on the cross. That's not to have you believe. Is that not mind-boggling that people just still sit there and listen to this? You see how far we've gone? I mean, that is just blows my mind clear out the window, how people can just stay there for that. I just, what's going on here, you know? What's happening? Have we went that far away? Are we that far gone as people that thousands upon thousands are being so misled? That is just amazing. I mean, you can hear the evil in it. And I don't know. You see? So what do we do about this? You spread the gospel, spread the truth the best you can. And Joyce Meyer said the same thing. I was going to play it for you here. Can't find it right now. Man, it's just wow. And what she says is as bad as what Copeland says. And they are so famous. They're just amazing. But I think they want you to see that now. Here we go. This is Word of Faith teaching.
Do you know something? The minute that blood sacrifice was accepted, Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again. Now, it was sealed. I mean, it happened when he was in hell. Oh, they were having the biggest party that had ever been had. They had my Jesus in the floor, and they were standing on his back, jumping up and down, laughing, and he had become sin. Don't you think that God was pacing, wanting to put a stop to what was going on? All the hosts of hell were up on him. Up on him. Up on him. The angels are in agony. All the creation is groaning. All the hosts of hell was upon him. Up on him. They got on him. They got him down in the floor and got on him. And they were laughing and mocking. Ah, ha, 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 ha. You trusted God, and look where you ended up. You thought he'd save you and get you off that cross. He didn't. Ha, ha, ha. Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Here comes the sun. Sunday morning.
I can't handle much more of that. You understand my confusion here? I don't understand why people just sit there. This is beyond imagination. She sells millions of dollars worth of books. Or millions of books worth of dollars. One way or the other, something like that. What's happening to us, family? These are high-level people. Eastern Stars, Freemasons. Family, the exception is finding one like David Wilkerson today. Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. The powers of darkness were defeated that day. And in Colossians 2:15, it is clear as a bell. In Colossians 2:15, it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And it talks, in Colossians 2:16, it talks about the so-called Sabbath that you must attend on Sundays only. Or if you're SDA, Monday, Saturdays only. In Colossians 2:16, it says, let no man therefore judge you in meat. I can eat pork, doggone, if I want to. Or in drink. We don't get drunk. Or in respect of a holy day. Or of the new moon. Or of the Sabbath days. Unquote. Colossians 2:16. It is clear as a bell. If I want to have a Sabbath on a Monday, I can do that. Because Jesus Christ is my Sabbath. He didn't abolish the Sabbath, no. But I can pick a day anytime I want to. But I will have that day. And he'll expect that day. But you don't have, see, Sunday, the Catholic Church wants you to worship on Sunday, Sun God, the SDA, Charles Taze Russell, Illuminati, Sunday, Seventh-day Adventist, SDA. On Saturday, for them, Saturnalia worship, worship of Satan on Saturday. See, that's how they do it. That's how religion has got it so corrupted. Sunday and Saturday. To get everybody there. Sunrise service. You got it? Easter, Easter. ISIS, I-S-I-S. That's what that's for. It's a signal. They're going ahead with the operation of ISIS. They're calling it terrorist group. Yeah, right. ISIS is the signal to go ahead with this operation. To bring in ISIS, Apollyon, Nimrod. We're heading down that road pretty quick. Christ was exalted. I wasn't stepped on. You got to be kidding me. Ephesians 1:20-21. It says, for above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. We're coming to the end of the program. Tonight went back pretty quick. I've got tomorrow, we're going to talk about Thursday. We'll continue on with this. And I do have, what are principalities and powers, and the 12 principles of enslavement, the 6 principles of propaganda, or the principalities, we'll talk about that. The 7 principalities of Satan. And deliverance, we'll need to talk about on Friday. Again, how to cut generational curses. Solutions, not fear. They're the ones that have the fear. That's why they don't like a King James only. Are you one of those King James only boys? Because the King James Bible has power that they don't like. That's why. Oh, you're just a Hindu kind of only guy, huh? Oh. They don't talk about that, do they? Oh, you're one of those Krishna only guys, huh? Now, they're after the Muslims. They're after the Jews and after the Christians. And what the atheists don't realize is they're going to be killed, too, if they don't worship Lucifer. That's in their planning. Albert Pike, the plan for World War III, is to bring everybody under the control of Lucifer, even atheists, or they die. That's a big surprise they got coming. Psalms 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked. Ouch. See, all this is connected. More and more, I don't know about y'all, but I kind of feel the Spirit of God is moving among people today. Causing people to have visions and dreams and starting to stir up the watchman. Something's going down. Something's happening. Anyway, I want to remind y'all that we're played out at highportradio.net, John Kirkler, at New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, plays our broadcast and Bible studies. Y'all, up at Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. And also, I have my website, Watchman for Jesus. And I have to admit, I don't know why I got this brain lock on YouTube, but I got to figure out how to do this darn thing. You know, I got to buy some kind of software, I don't know what, you know. And then I got to be able to cut out the song, the starting off song, because they won't let you play it on YouTube. And the song at the end, I got to cut that out, something, I don't know, all kinds of stuff. Upload, and then we got a super, super slow system in Mount Airy. I mean, you time it with a calendar, not a stopwatch. And so, it's some problems there. So I'm going to try to work this YouTube thing out and put some of my broadcasts out on YouTube. Maybe split it up in three sections, 15 minutes each, or maybe longer if I can. I don't know. But anyway, we're coming to a crescendo, a pinnacle of something, no pun intended, but y'all are placed in different places. God's going to bring people to you. Family first, friends and strangers. And then you're going to have troubles. They're coming. Lord, tonight we thank you for bringing us together in a Bible study. Lord, lead us through this week. For the future, for more Bible studies, for us to conduct our own Bible studies. Holy Spirit, to give us the words, the wisdom, the thinking, the insight to study the Word. Give us the opportunities to witness to others, especially families. To our lost children, and the lost children to be brought in by the children who accepted Jesus, that their influences will be used to bring others to Jesus. Lord, we ask you to have protection of the blood of the Lamb for our studies and for the future. Father, to give us courage to stand up to the tyranny when the word is cut off, that we'll be able to move on. These things we pray. In our name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Family, we're at the end again, and tomorrow, 4 o'clock, 4 to 6, I'm going to continue on where God leads me, talking about Satan's trips and using the political agenda and all that stuff. I talk about 4 to 6. I try to connect it to show, you know, I want to connect to Satan's outside activities. Then at nighttime, we talk about more of the spiritual. But it's all connected to the same thing. Just different methods they use. People get ready. The times are coming. And only in Christ alone is where you're saved. So you'll have a good night. God bless. This is the Watchman. Signing off.
Born by